Hey, welcome to Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. My name is Jay.
My name is Colleen.
And I'm Will, the worst lookout ever.
And welcome to the show. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, but I gotta say, don't be hating, okay? Will got three words in this episode. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He got, oops, I had one job to do, and I didn't see Michaela coming. That was bad. That was awkward.
No, and Michaela's not exactly quiet.
Will, look out. Look out, Will. Make sure no one sees us.
Oh, my God.
What are you guys hiding there?
But I will say it's nice, though, because it does tie into the emergence of Michaela as one of the best characters on this season.
Yes.
Because first, she was kind of quiet, but she had some great, great moments in this episode. And
yeah.
Do the challenge right, or I'll kill you.
I have to say, I take back what we said a few weeks ago when we said they're trying to make Michaela happen. Well, Michaela totally happened. And is happening. Or what is it that Jeff said? Michaela trying to teach Hannah what time it is.
Yeah, tell Hannah what time it is, yeah.
I just want people to stop talking.
I have to say, this was a great episode.
Yeah, it was.
I enjoyed it.
Yes, a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Figgy and the Fig Tales comes to an end.
Hashtag Fig Tales. Woo!
The sad part is that I think for their age, they probably didn't grow up watching DuckTales.
Oh, don't even tell me that. I had that moment. I put it on the Facebooks today. Last night when we were doing the broadcast, that I don't know if anybody out there is a Gilmore Girls fan, but I am currently 32, which is the age that Lorelai Gilmore was during season one of the series. When the series started, I was 16, which was the age of Rory Gilmore when the series started. So I'm having this like come to Jesus circle of life moment right now. Although I do not have a 16-year-old daughter, so it's not fully a circle of life, but I'm just still having this like existential crisis where I have not done enough, as much with my life as Lorelai Gilmore had.
Has she done more?
I'm calling it now. Bad review on iTunes. I come on here to avoid everything, and Colleen talks about the Gilmore Girls. I hate the Gilmore Girls.
Well, look,
I'm not voting for the Gilmore Girls, but I hate the Gilmore Girls.
I just consider me
unsubscribed.
Oh, no. Okay, well, it's fair if you don't want to hear political talk, but I just want to go out there and say,
no, I'm okay with political talk. I don't want to hear about the Gilmore
record,
Girls.
Okay, that last week when we were making jokes, all right, after the debate, it was just podcast locker room talk. That's all it was. Was just podcast locker room talk.
Nothing more,
nothing less.
I'm seriously sorry. I apologize.
So I apologize. Exactly.
Oh, well, let's now that you've made your apologies.
Can I just say that I've never watched an episode of the Gilmore Girls?
Oh, you should. It's fun.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Well, let's try to keep it focused here on the episode of Survivor Night. But before we get into our recap, let's thank people that make this show possible. Our patrons over at patreon.com/Jay and Jack. We're only, $101 away from our $1,000 threshold, the next big threshold.
So close.
Which will, I think it's a big crossover live broadcast, Married Man live show, which if you listen to our patrons only, or Patron's Choice show.
Then this really isn't for you, other than to say thank you.
but we're so close. So if you like what we're doing, if you like listening to our shows, the money that's generated from Patreon and the ads that you hear on the show is what pays for hosting, what pays for our website, what pays to have our artwork, what pays to actually build the website, what pays all of our podcasts. So it makes all of this possible. So thank you so much to those that do it. And if you like what we do, and you even if it's just a dollar, everything helps. You can go over to patreon.com/JayandJack, or if you're on our website, JayandJack.com, click on the Become a Patron link to become a patron.
And actually,
today,
if you donate $1 right now, you could be that $1 that pushes us to the $900 level a month.
It's true.
And if you donate $2,
I think it's tax deductible too.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
It's definitely not.
Please don't spread that.
I think you can write it off on your taxes.
You can. I feel like Michael Bluth right now. I'm like,
we can find someone at H&R Block, and I'm sure they can confirm that. Yeah, it's tax deductible.
Earlier today, you absolutely cannot write this off on your taxes.
Oh man. All right. So Colleen, let's take this recap and go with it.
All right, let's do it.
Also, if you could talk into your microphone.
I am talking into the freaking microphone.
You know, I have that same problem with two people on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I was listening to the most recent Dancing with the Stars, which is another one of our podcasts. And, oh my God, my mother is worse than you were.
That is definitely one of Jay's other podcasts for sure.
I just get dirty looks all the time. I just go. Now, to be fair, when we recorded Lost and I had that problem, you had your back to me.
Yeah.
I'm sitting directly across from the two, and I go, I just do the forward thing. You can't see what I'm doing. I got forward, and they just give me dirty looks.
Just threaten them that I will come there and just annoy the crap out of them until they talk into the god dang mic. But anyways, recap it away.
Okay, then. So we start off, episode 6, The Truth Works Well. We start off at Vanua, and I have to say that without the debate drinking game, I had a whole lot better handle on who was on what tribe this week.
You still didn't know who Brett or Chris were.
To be fair, I didn't have to be drunk or sober. I still can't keep them apart, like tell them apart.
You know, but Brett follows us on Twitter.
That's the one with the dark hair, right? Chris is the ginger.
Yes.
Hey, Brett, if you're listening, thanks for that.
I didn't know Chris played college football at Oklahoma.
Yeah, at a national championship.
I did not know that.
See, now we could have talked about that instead of hashtag Ken is a 10 last week if you were here.
Yeah.
Ken still is.
He still is a 10. I mean,
actually, Chris was a tight end.
Oh, there you go.
Said Zeke. So we're in Vanua after trial. <Jesus. laughs> And I'm not even drinking tonight. And David says that getting rid of Cece was the right thing to do. It is now the people I trust versus the people you trust. It's no longer millennials versus Gen X. Zeke marvels at his new power position. I'm a brand new baby in this game of Survivor. And I have to wonder... it's kind of like the turnaround for Zeke. I would have said yes, except hashtag brand new baby wasn't a hashtag on the screen. So I kind of question if the Survivor production team likes him. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it was going to be my name, if that means anything.
I'm a brand new baby.
That was what I first wrote down.
Awesome. We go to Ikabula, day 16. Everybody is hungry, and Jay feels like he has to take care of everybody. And cut to the crying confessional about how he's doing things for his family, and he's going to win Survivor. He goes searching.
Mama's boy.
I know.
Hey, well, no, I'm a defend him. I liked him after this episode.
Yeah, he got a very positive edit in this episode.
I mean, he's smart. He's a good player. He's great in the challenges. He doesn't seem to be ruffle any feathers. He has the immunity idol.
Russell feathers.
I don't know. Russell feathers. I felt bad for him. He seemed sincere. So it wasn't like a fishbeck cry, you know, or something like that.
But. Come on, dude. Why you gotta hate? I do have to say this about Jay.
I got sand in my pants.
Okay, I know what you really meant to say there, okay? If this was an explicit podcast, it would have been a little different.
Well, I just didn't say. I say it every time when I watch the Chargers play.
Anyways, so we have actually, if you think about it, we've been seeing these moments from Jay. There he's lumped in with the Figtails, you know, kind of origin story in a way, and like tied with that little group, but they always go out of their way to show us a little bit more about how Jay is smarter thinking and how, when he was like, I hope that they don't do something stupid like make out in front of everybody back when they had that, twist in the game, which was something that they did in like the second or first season of Survivor.
The best thing that happened to Jay was getting separated from the
without a doubt. I wonder
was the best thing for him.
I wonder if they're trying to make him happen too, like being like the next Ozzy or something.
I think he's getting the winner's edit.
I don't think he's getting the winner's edit, but he's definitely had a winner's confessional this episode with this confessional talking about.
At least if he's getting a winner's edit, he's at least he deserves the win.
But so he goes searching for the hidden immunity idol with Will, and that's when Will is like, yeah, and I'm like, wow, Will can talk again. I'm pretty sure he also said
yeah. He talks like he's like 40 years old.
Well, don't forget last week Will also got to say something, and it was, what was your name? And he said Will. So there was that.
Poor Will.
I know. Will's going to have his breakout moment. It's coming. They keep showing up. He gets voted out. And it'll still be better than when Leaf got voted out and got like no confessionals and slept in a box. Anyway, they find the hidden immunity idol, and Jay goes, I hear the Survivor music in the background, and he starts to sing the Survivor music, and then, you know, cut to a fun little thing from the editing team.
Did anyone think he wasn't going to figure out that it was in there?
Nah.
Yeah, I said he picked it up. I go, okay, don't throw it back in.
If they did, he would have gotten the Dodo music, and there was no like Dodo music. That is only reserved for Breaking Sticks.
Did they change it to being called Fishback music?
No, shut up. You're the worst. Leave Steven alone.
Leave him alone.
I don't know. Hashtag shut up.
Change the podcast of Rob has a crybaby as a host.
Stop it. Oh. That is fighting words. I do not approve of that. Oh, I do not endorse this message. Wrong. Wrong.
Well, you're a nasty, nasty
man. Yeah, nasty man. We just lost more subscribers.
Nasty.
But getting back to the actual issue at hand, because we are here to talk about Survivor, Jay gives this another little confessional after he finds it, that this idol means, Mom, you just got one step closer to getting that house. And cue all the tears in the room.
Mommy's boy.
I respected him. Yeah. He was saying it for someone else. It wasn't. I got the idol. I'm closer to $1 million.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah,
I'm closer to getting my mom a house. Maybe she's never had a house. Maybe.
Yes, exactly. Just like, wasn't Michaela working to get like her family something too? So all of the like millennials, they are working to give their slacker Gen X parents something.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding about the slacker comment. I just want to clarify that. But. Everything is great. Like, this is the best day ever. Hashtag wonderful. Hashtag, I don't know, whatever you Gen Xers use, millennials use. and he might go back to the beach and, like, you know, beach chill with Will until Michaela finds them and, you know, is like, yo, what you guys got in the bag? And Will's like,
I'm not allowed to speak.
I guess he picked the wrong.
No, he's still in high school. He had to raise his hand. Nobody called on him.
Didn't get the bathroom pass. No, he picked the worst person to be his lookout because Will has said like three words this whole time. So he just really.
Whistle.
No, I think I do think Will's going to get his day because we do keep seeing a little bit of him, you know, here and there. It's not like he's Carter from the Philippines.
He's the tallest guy out there, isn't he?
Youngest and the tallest, huh?
So how come we're not seeing him?
And the deepest voice.
Wait, is he taller than Chris and Brett?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. So anyway, Michaela finds them, and you know, right now she's not going to tell anybody about it, but if she catches wind that anything's going down, then she's snitching.
Yeah. Well, snitches get stitches.
I sincerely doubt that anybody is giving Michaela stitches.
No.
If anything, she's given out the stitches. Somebody snitches give stitches. Anyway, we go to the reward.
I wouldn't mess with her.
I would not either. We go to the reward challenge, and they're playing for cookies, iced tea, and milk. And the second tribe gets chocolate chip cookies.
Anyone think this was kind of a weak reward?
Yes, I did.
Super weak. Weak as the one where Caleb almost died trying to get for salt and pepper.
No, but I just said, I go, That's probably, if you haven't eaten a lot and you haven't eaten a while and you eat apple pie and cookies and brownies and milk, you're going to be making a trip to the border.
Especially, I mean, just sugar overload.
Yeah, I go, I just wouldn't have killed myself to, I would have played like David.
Right.
Can I just say right now, if you're one of the weaker persons out there, at least you should know you're left from your right.
Exactly. But that said, we get to the challenge. And there were some great comedic moments in this. Like you just said, Michelle has trouble getting David to tell his right from his left, from his straight. Ken is running around like holding his crotch, and then he hits it anyway.
I go, oh, he's protecting himself. At least he's smart.
And then no.
Well, they kept hitting it.
We were like, Ken, protect yourself. Protect yourself. But then David goes to the wrong puzzle. Ken falls flat while running in circles.
And did Michaela go, get out of here?
Michaela was a rock star again in this challenge. But Hannah starts to feel really faint. And she goes to sit in the shade, and Brett is there with her. And then she says her whole face is tingling. Vanua was in last place, but suddenly Zeke and Michelle really start to mesh well and work well together. Jeff has a great inappropriate comment, which is he's trying to get it in. Mm-hmm. And suddenly Vanua wins and Ikabula gets second place.
Now, do you think that, I had something else later. We didn't talk about how Figgy was so excited to see that Michelle was still there.
Yes, I'm sorry. I should have led with that.
Because that was stupid.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Please.
Not you forgetting about
things.
It. Her just going, oh, great. You made it, Michelle. And Zeke.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Zeke, too. I forgot. I kind of like you. So, yeah.
Biggie has never played poker.
They can't read her poker face. Hi-oh. No. We watched the Lady Gaga James Corden carpool thing before this. So, anyway.
Oh, is it good? Mm-hmm.
If you like Lady Gaga.
She's a talented singer.
Yeah. So, Dr. Joe ends up coming out to look at Hannah, who can't tell if she's dehydrating or panicking. Her muscles are cramping, and then she tells him, you're not going to let me die.
Maybe.
But I have to say, I take pity on anybody that has a panic attack. But I do, when Jeff was like, well, go sit over there in the shade. You could tell his subtext was like, no, seriously, I almost watched a dude die last season from possible dehydration.
So is it now, the curse of the crappy reward challenge?
Maybe, but granted, you know, Caleb actually played in the challenge last season.
That's true.
So there was that.
But I feel bad. Go ahead.
Panic attacks are real. I mean, that's something
they're
no joke. I mean, it's something you seriously feel. I've had a couple in my life, and mm-hmm. you seriously feel like you're dying.
Oh, no, I mean, do.
So I had sympathy for her. I did want to get her a bar of soap. I said, how did she get so dirty sitting there on the bench? I mean, she's just covered with dirt. It's like maybe when we weren't seeing Jeff was throwing dirt clods at her or something. I don't know.
The dirty bench warmer.
I mean,
it's like, look live.
She wasn't in the challenge. How'd she get so dirty? But
I have no idea. We go over to Vanua, and David, who is the master of the game, says that I don't think that we would have won this challenge with Cece. Totally trying to cover up, like, hey guys, I know that you were screaming right and left, and I just kept walking straight, and but Cece wasn't here to mess it up, so there's that.
I didn't get that either. I said, there's no reason to throw Cece under the bus on that one.
No, other than she's not here.
Other than he, like you said, he's just trying to. Yeah, I'm still not the worst. If you had Cece here.
I mean, I'm the second worst, Ben.
Yeah,
but now she's not here.
If Cece was still here, you would have lost it because there's no way you would have won it with Cece here. I don't know.
Oh my god! Yeah, that was definitely a little bit of like, dude. Sometimes it's better to just keep quiet.
Yeah,
very true.
But so then everybody kind of reflects on how Figgy was so excited to see Michelle at the challenge, and Zeke was kind of like her afterthought. David wants to get Michelle out because she's such a dangerous player, and he's right on this count. Like, Michelle is definitely got that Parvati upside right now, kind of, right?
Well, not only that, but you had Figgy saying how much they love her. I mean, I would have been like, why are you saying this?
I feel like Figgy getting voted out is probably is more beneficial to Michelle's game than anybody else's, right?
Oh, yeah. Because
Michelle and Jay, yeah.
Yeah, because it definitely makes it seem like they're tight foursome. You know, it's no longer. Their numbers are decreasing, so there's cracks there. So I think that definitely helps Michelle. Zeke knows that Figgy has let the cat out of the bag, that he's on the bottom of the millennials. And then Michelle is bragging that apparently I can't read words in front of me. Michelle is bragging that Figgy owes her life in the game.
Which I thought was stupid, though, too.
Yeah, that was a little stupid. Zeke knows that he's probably going to have to turn on the millennials in order to make it further in the game. Although now, who knows? I mean, we're one of those people down. So this whole scene, I thought, was just, you know, filled with just stuff to talk about and just good strategy and horrible gameplay all at once.
So. Well, Chris just kept quiet for the most part, so I thought he did very well.
Yeah.
And he did say, you know, 1 week, you know, 1 minute we're playing for $1 million, next we're having cookies or something like that.
Right.
But he didn't say anything that I saw that was.
No, I didn't think so either. You know, 1 minute you're throwing a touchdown, the next minute you're on a beach starving. We head over to Ikabula, and Hannah is explaining her panic attack to Sunday, and then she notes that she has to keep the perception that she's okay in order to not appear weak. So, you know, this kind of redeems her a little bit. It not so much redeems her in the way that, you know, we're all like, you know, why do we like Hannah again? But redeems her in the, you know, she kind of gets that moment, like, humanizing her more.
Yeah,
so.
I think that was, I mean, because I definitely said, nobody wants to be that person that seems like they're doing something wrong or that they're weak or something. And she had no control over it. And it's like just that the optics of it, though, is, she had to get medical and wasn't even playing the challenge. That's tough. That's got to feel bad, you know that people are probably making fun of you back at home.
Is this Shades of
Aubrey?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, even Jay said, he goes, Hannah, you know, yeah. Hannah's having, he goes like, well, how, and it, I was, way I read it was, how did she get hurt?
Yeah.
Sitting there. So I think once she just says,
she had a Charlie attack, horse.
Yeah.
Those things are no joke.
But I think it's her. I don't think she was considered a physical player anyway, so I don't think it really hurt her too much.
No.
No. Now, is this kind of like Shades of Aubrey last season, where she had the minor panic attack on the beach, the first episode, right?
I think the issue there is she wanted to present herself as a really tough person.
Hannah?
No.
Aubrey.
Where Hannah, I think, she's been very open and honest about who she is and kind of has that self-deprecating humor. So to me, it just, hers feels almost like more, not I want to say forgivable, because it shouldn't be something you forgive, but just something more, I don't know, like endearing, maybe. I don't know the right word to use, but it just seems more real or genuine than Aubrey's situation was.
And it was also, This was a very nice moment from her, and it was kind of sandwiched in between two very, I guess, flustered, not put together moments from her, which we'll get to in a minute. So I don't know. Do we think that Hannah's making the merge? I think she's making the merge.
I think at this point, it's
fair. I think she gets, if there's final three, I think she goes to final three.
I don't know about final three.
I don't think she can win it. Right. I don't think she's done anything to make her a case to be this at this point, you know, one of the stronger players. So I think I would take her to the finals with me.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like she could also easily piss the wrong people off. Maybe
she could.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem like someone that wrestles feathers, though.
Right now. right now. Okay. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I also want to interrupt this podcast to let everybody know that we just got an email from nextdoor.com saying that there is a clown walking down our street right now.
Ooh, exciting.
Now, this was sent at 9:23. It's currently 9:54. But apparently a half an hour ago, there was a clown spotted on our street walking down the street.
You got a notice from who?
Nextdoor.com.
It's a social media thing for neighborhoods.
So
someone spotted it and just said,
"There's a clown."
Well,
they put it on there and they said that they called 911.
Okay. The interesting thing about being that was like, we're not a gun carrying family here, but I feel like if there was just like if you're doing this thing where you're dressing up as the clowns, like, what's the stuff like, you know, someone that is a gun carrying family, like, just shoot the crap out of it.
Aren't some places banning it? You can't dress up as a clown.
Well, the only reason I'm bringing this up is because they this like, you know, those clowns have been appearing in the middle of the streets randomly. Jay's aunt was telling us that in her community they had them in the middle of the street.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
I know. But we might have our first one.
There's some cities or towns, I think, are seriously banning dressing up as a clown.
Well, clowns no longer have the winner's edit. That's all I've got to say.
Have they ever, though?
I don't know, but we're keeping the lights on.
Save for Bozo, have they ever?
We're keeping the lights on tonight, and I'm totally going to stare out the window for a while when we're done recording. Moving on, back to Kali, day 16. Figgy and Taylor, you know, make out in front of Adam, and it's super not hot. They say that they may as well tell Jess and Kevin because they have the numbers there. And that was the first time where I was like, yeah, your tribe's totally going to tribal council. Like, you just went out of your way to mention how you have the numbers. Then they practice telling Jess because they're all nervous. And I'm like, hashtag adorable.
Hashtag ugh.
Hashtag could we just have cut this scene out?
No.
Well, I think you needed just to kind of give context to them, her getting voted out at the end.
I guess.
No. Because imagine what wasn't shown. Ken kind of gave us a little bit of what wasn't shown.
Can you imagine being Adam there? And that probably, you know, we only saw like a minute of it. It probably went on for hours. I don't know if I would have taken the machete and maybe lost it.
You know, it might have gone on for hours because this was day 16, and then the next scene is the immunity challenge, which is day 18. So there was a whole day for them to get their freak on in between. But Figgy goes and tells Jessica, who's like, "You think? Like, duh, little girl."
You knew?
Yeah. What? You really knew? And she's like, yeah, I have eyes. I don't have pink eye anymore. I've got full vision. Totally.
I'm not stoned anymore, so I can see it.
I'm off that island weed.
Taylor's bogarting all the weed, so I'm not stoned anymore.
There you go. And then she goes and tells Ken, and he's like, I've been a
you
brown.
Think?
Yeah.
You he's think?
Like,
you
think? Yeah, he's also like effing duh. And he's like, I've been around the block, little girl. I've been around longer than you. I mean, it's obvious. That was so funny. Like, Ken just, you know, pops in with his dreamy eyes and reminds us that he's a player or was a player at one point.
He does have nice eyes. I got a bit.
A dreamy look. Just a dreamy look. And then, you know, he tells us these kids think they're in charge of it all, but that little couple aren't as cool as they think they are. I'm really hoping that we get so much Ken screen time. You know, if you think about it, this Survivor story is being told through the eyes of David, Ken, Zeke, and Michaela, and, you know, Taylor and Figgy. Like, we've got a lot of Michelle, but we're not really hearing it like from Michelle's point of view. We're getting a lot of Jessica, but we're not being told it from Jessica's point of view. Like, the storytellers here seem to be Figtails, Adam a little bit, but Figtails, Ken, David. It's like their stories.
Sunday and Will, nothing.
Sunday and Will get nothing. Chris and Brett get a little bit, but not a whole lot. What do you think, Jay?
I mean, it just depends. Especially, I'm surprised out of it. I'm surprised Sunday hasn't gotten more, just because.
Why?
She seemed like I'm blanking on her name from Facts of Life.
Lisa Welchel?
Like, she seemed to have a bit of a Lisa Welchel-ness about her. And her pregame video was had a lot of good things about how she hated her kids. So I felt like she would have some good...
She hates her sons, okay?
You're right. Hates her sons, loves her daughter. But I felt like there would have been more, I don't know, there.
Maybe she's not doing anything.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm surprised she isn't.
To be fair, not to bash Hannah, if she didn't have a panic attack today, we wouldn't have seen her.
Probably.
That's true.
Probably. But we saw that panic attack for a reason, right? Like, they easily didn't have to show us that.
Well, how do you not, though?
I think when she gets
in the challenge.
But it wasn't
not...
during the challenge. It was after the challenge was over.
But still, it was during the challenge she walked away.
Right.
So? You don't have to focus on it. You could have the camera go on other people.
Well, she was right behind Jeff.
Still, I think that you probably could have hit it. So, I don't know. I don't know. Hannah's story clearly... I don't think Hannah's near the end of her story, but I think her story is starting to kind of like ramp up a little bit. I think she's, if I were to make a guess, she might be early to mid-merge. That's my guess. I could be totally wrong. I don't, you know, I think she's not a threat before the merge, so it's stupid to take her out. But I don't know. Do we think that Ken is long for this game?
At least till the merge.
I hope until the end of times.
I know. I hope that we see Ken forever and ever.
Well, did I pick him to win it?
Let me check.
I think I did.
Let's see. Jack, you do have Ken.
All
Colleen
right.
has Michaela, and I have Adam. I think we have three pretty strong picks.
I think we do, too.
Yeah.
All three of them are pretty big within the story
okay.
right now.
As of right now, those three are in the final three. Who gets your vote?
Ken? No, Michaela.
Ooh, that's
I don't
tough.
Know. It's
tough.
Because, I mean, Michaela, I don't see a whole lot of strategizing going on from her right now, other than she voted with the majority despite the fact she did not like Figgy in the...
I would probably vote Ken because he somehow has managed... He's, like, been in the minority this whole time, and
right.
he's somehow managed to make it as far as he has.
That's because attractive white dudes get to do everything, Jay.
So?
I can confirm that from experience.
But I think just from probably... Like, historically, I feel like Adam would probably get the win. Because he has his big move. He went against the power
because
couple.
Because we kept saying that he has, like, Todd vibes.
No, just he has, in terms of his resume, he
yeah,
overthrew the power couple.
Same time. Yeah. Sorry.
He got an immunity idol. Myself. He can still play that at some point in time. So.
I think all three could make a case. For me, right now, it'd be a tough vote.
Yeah, it'd be a tough
vote. I like all three.
Let us know what you think. Yeah, let us know what you think out there, the listeners. If it's Michaela, if it's our final three in the final three, so that's Michaela, Ken, and Adam. Who would you vote for?
And you can't just vote for dreamy eyes. Come on now. Even though that would help me.
Ken has some of the best eyes I've ever seen on Survivor.
Yeah, there was a moment tonight where Jay and I were both like, that look though.
I think it was when he was trying to convince Adam to go, and then Colleen was like, it wouldn't have taken that long for him to convince
Yeah, I was
me.
Pretty much like, he would be like, will you come with us? And I'd been like, yes. Say
I
no
think,
more.
I think you Colleen had been like this, hey, okay. Yeah. I'm in.
All right, but yeah,
if
let's
only,
move on here.
If only. where was I? Oh, so we go to the immunity challenge, and Jeff wants everybody to maneuver their balls. David was the big surprise in this challenge, guys, and it was Ken that was struggling to start.
See, David, well, I was surprised he did that well. To be honest,
he was pure gentleman.
Well, he did well till he had to drag the coconuts.
Yeah, I love the Jeff's comments. Like, he's dragging more than his body weight up to the.
Well, luckily he didn't have to drag. He just had to go straight with the coconuts. He didn't have to go left or right because he'd still be trying to figure out where to drop the coconuts off. Right.
Yes.
No, David, left. He just keep going straight. Your other left.
Yeah, your other left. I liked when Jeff was like, David, dragging two bags that weigh more than he does.
I just said that joke.
Oh, sorry.
You weren't listening to me.
Listening.
I can confirm that Jay did say that earlier.
I'm sorry. I was making a tweet to try to get to find out who people would vote for.
Uh-huh.
I don't really feel like bad about this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
Okay, says the person that's sitting there with his eyes closed right now talking into the mic.
You don't have to keep my eyes open to talk.
I've podcast that way a number of times.
Okay, well, did you note that Figs told Taylor to push baby push?
I did not know.
Okay, well, Figs told Taylor to push baby push. And then, excuse me, Jeff also screams out at one point, find the balls and get up here. That was funny and made me giggle. Got a couple of likes on the Twitter with that one. But then we have, you know, they're all trying to get the three balls through the maze and into their places. And we have Michaela and Hannah, the best buddy cop duo on Survivor this season. I mean,
just shut up.
And Hannah's like, I'm not even talking. Shut up.
I will break your arm.
But it works.
But you know what? You know, as harsh as she was to Hannah, she was 100% right. Now, was her approach right? Probably not.
But it worked. Her, so it, is it? Does it matter?
But she was what she was. She. I liked how she said, I'm trying to keep us all safe. Just listen to me.
Yeah,
because Hannah wasn't listening. They did only need one person doing it. She figured it out.
Yeah.
Maybe she could have said, you know, but I don't think that's her approach. I think she plays sports and that's what you do in sports. You be your best friend, your wife, your husband. You're going to scream at that person. Do it the right way.
Yeah.
So I had no problem with it.
Yeah. I think I saw somebody on Twitter who said that she was the Kobe Bryant of this game. Is that correct?
Yeah, most of the time the leader of a team is the guy that, like, the quarterback. You'll see them get in the face of somebody. It's not personal. It's just that's the way that the game is played. It's a game of timing. It's a game of, you know, you have to, obviously you're in a race with two other teams. I don't have time to teach you how to do it. Just stop and listen. Just do it right. And once she listened, they raced right through it.
Yeah, that's totally true. And that happened, as we'll see, once the team that she helped listen to. But I do have
I did want to say, though, too, because I wrote this down. If the first place team gets the bigger idol, shouldn't they get something, some reward with it, too?
It's not the size of the idol, Jack.
But I'm saying, you finish first or second. Okay. Shouldn't the first place team should be the more incentive to get the first to win first?
I think that they were trying to teach the millennials that not everybody gets trophies, that sometimes it's not just equal participation trophies. There are.
But that's kind of what it is, I think, is what Jack's saying. Like, should the first place get
something more than the rest of the team? You know, if you really want to prove to them.
Well, okay. They are. They get the bigger immunity idols.
But that
doesn't do anything.
You have something bigger to be like, my immunity is better than yours.
Yeah, but I don't get to keep it.
It doesn't matter. Quantitatively, you have this bigger thing.
We didn't even say that Figgy was two-timing Taylor. Figgy was kissing the idol when she handed it back. So she's two-timing Taylor.
No, I think it's a good point. Like, what would you give as incentive to be the first place team in that?
Maybe give them some fishing gear or something, that some comfort item or something like that. It would also put more. It also put more pressure on the two teams that are fighting for first and second.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad idea at all. I think it's a good point.
Yeah, I loved during the challenge when Hannah and Michaela. And, you know, Michaela's like, don't get frustrated. And Hannah's like, I'm not frustrated. I'm just getting yelled at. And she's like, I'm just trying to get you to win. That was the moment that Michaela sealed her place in my heart. So they're playing for second, and Michaela is trying to help Zeke and Michelle with strategy. And like you pointed out, once, you know, she told them, you know, one person stay still once you get there, they caught up really quickly and ended up coming in second place. And afterwards, you know, Jeff asks why, and Michaela says that they want the millennials to stay. And on Vanua, it was 2 versus 2. And, well, why not help the others? And she tells them, because it's 3-2, and if you guys can't figure that one out, then y'all deserve to go home. And that was also when I was like,
oh, that was a great line, right?
Great line.
I think Michaela totally had the best strategy there to keep all the millennials together. It's unfortunate she didn't really know what was going on beyond the subtext, but I think she made a really good point.
Yeah.
Right.
And it doesn't matter, even if she knew that they weren't getting along, the three of them, she still, like, that was a strong enough hint, like, keep your S together, because you keep your act together. We are going to do great things come merge time if you guys can keep the numbers.
Well, I think that shows she's a player, too, that she's not physical, she's strategic.
I mean, that's true.
I was like, why is she helping that team and not the other? I go, oh, yeah. Took me a while.
Yeah, exactly. So great. But then Figgy has that Gigi quote where she talks about, you know, how all the millennials can stick together and run the game or whatever she said. You know, and that's kind of always your tip off. So
yeah,
if you don't want to know what's going to happen, go pee as soon as the challenge is over and don't wait for that last confessional before the commercial.
That's why I said if I was ever on Survivor, I would never say I have the numbers. I'm the swing vote. I'm any of the key things that get you voted off.
But see, you have those people now that go on like, I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I'm going to say it. And so they still do it. So maybe there's something about being on the island where you just can't help yourself.
Well, they probably coach you into saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would just look at them and say, just give me Will time. I don't care.
Give me Will time.
So we are making fun of Will. Is that what Will's doing?
No.
That could be it.
No.
That could be it.
We head over to Colleen.
Can't even give him an inch, Colleen.
Maybe he thinks he's still at recess. I don't know.
Oh. I'll give him a little bit of an inch. Sure, why not? But we go to Colleen, and Adam is stressed out because he knows that he's the swing vote. Figtails doesn't quite trust Adam because he expresses remorse that they have to vote Ken out. Jess tries to pull Adam over. By the way, did anybody notice, like, was Ken wearing, like, In-N-Out shorts that were just blue instead of red?
They were a pretty nice Walmart brand palm tree shorts.
Well, I don't know. I was looking at the shorts. That was it.
Well, he was off the grid for 5.5 years. Maybe he made his own shorts.
Oh, he pieced them together through, like, In-N-Out stickers and glued them to palm trees and made... fabric of some sort, and they're blue because they're sun worn.
He's been around the block.
I've been around, little girl.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, Shandy, I hope that you're not offended by when he said that because I loved it. I feel like you're not going to be though. But Ken tries
because it's Ken that said it. Anyone else, it would have been David or someone else. Oh, that was sexist.
Well, maybe if it was Dan Foley. Well, can we all play the let's pretend if Dan Foley had said that game, how would it have come out?
Oh God. Let's not.
Just shut your mouth.
I'm getting the heroes edit. Yeah.
Shut your mouth, open your ears. I've been around the block. You're wrong.
Little girl.
Little girl. But anyway, Ken tries to convince Adam to stay.
How about not come across as a lovely guy? I don't know.
Wants Adam to stay. And he made a good point, like, come with us or you're going to go with the cool kids and be on the bottom. And I could, you know, good for him for playing to that kind of aspect. I don't know. I
thought it was a no-brainer because he was on the bottom with the millennials. He was. I mean, to me, it was just a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. We go over to Jay. What do you think?
What's that?
I said, what do you think about Adam, Ken's argument to Adam, with staying with them versus going with the cool kids and being on the bottom is like,
I mean, I agree with it.
Good argument.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you guys think that Adam had another way that he should have stayed with them and kept the millennials' numbers?
No.
He was on the bottom.
Yeah, it was clear he was on the bottom.
But he has an idol that nobody knows about, right? Yeah.
Nobody knows about it, but I think he was better off to go with Ken and Jess.
Yeah.
He was already on the, and he's already voted for Figgy once, and she can say what she wants, but I thought she was dumb to bring that up at
yes.
At Tribal. She just this whole episode was just Figgy mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why we knew it was going to be her instead of Taylor that went home.
Right.
Yeah, because they showed her a lot more.
Yeah, so they showed them both, but they showed her mistakes a lot more. Let's go to the tribal council here. And like you said, Figgy pointed out that Adam had voted against her the first tribal that the millennials had gone. And Adam did not look happy at all, right?
No, he looked miserable.
Yeah. And then Jeff points out, you know, says something like she looks at you the same way she looks at Taylor. And Adam's like, oh, no, 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 no. She certainly does not look at me the same way she looks at Taylor.
That was a good line by Adam.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Can we go back real quick here?
Yeah,
why were they targeting Ken and not Jess?
Because Ken is the stronger player.
They don't know when they're going to merge. I got to keep Ken over Jess until, like I said, you have the numbers. What does it matter which one you vote out?
Yeah, because Ken will be a bigger target at the merge.
Yeah, so I would have targeted Jess over Ken, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Maybe they just felt more threatened by Ken in general, but also it's Figtails and brains does not seem to be their strong point.
No.
Well, they thought Adam was stupid, so.
So there's that.
I mean, it's just the argument that, we're just like any pair that votes together. But the difference is like that pair is never going to break up. Well, maybe it could break up, but it's less likely that they would flip on each other because.
That was a good try to get to divert it, but no.
Yeah.
You just, they're far too early in the game to be lovey-dovey like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, going back to tribal council, Probst offered to marry Figgy and Taylor. He's like, as an ordained minister.
And Figgy was up for it, which I almost wish they would have done it.
Oh, just, my God, that would have been amazing.
That would have broke the internet. But I like Taylor like, are you serious?
Playing marriage chicken on TV.
Because even I said, well, they need a license. Jeff goes, we'll get you a license. I'm like,
his hand, and some producer from Fiji is like there with a license and a Fiji judge.
at that point, Taylor goes, I think I'm going to change my vote. I think I'm voting for Figgy tonight.
Yeah, suddenly Figgy's voted out 4-1.
Did somebody write
How did
it
that
twice?
Happen?
What happened?
Oh, sorry, I thought I was supposed to vote for the one I wanted to marry.
Sorry, sweetie. I thought it was our marriage license.
Oh, this means we can't be together now.
Oh gosh. Oh,
ah,
yeah.
Just
we'll meet up. You know what? We'll see each other in Ponderosa. Oh, I guess not either. Oh, bummer.
Yeah,
enjoy your vacation.
He definitely totally had that. What, bra? Like, yeah. What?
Marriage? Dude, no.
And they cut to Ken being like, oh, I could have taught you some lessons, little boy. Because clear on how to really go around the block.
Are you in love? Whoa. It's only been 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was so awkward. But again, like, you know, I feel like missed opportunity. Okay. So we do have, you know, this thing from Ken, who's kind of like explaining to Taylor, like, she wants you to do this because of this. And I thought that was just so funny.
I actually looked at the clock to see how much time was left. I said, do they have enough time for a little quick wedding? how cool it would have been they agreed to get married, he marries them, and then she gets voted out.
That's what I was saying. It would have been amazing.
Now, is that grounds for an annulment? Because you never got to even, like, consummate it?
Yeah, I guess well, what if he was like, vote me out too? I can't be without her. Vote me out too. I mean, there's so many... There's so many possible amazing outcomes.
You know what he should have done is he should have said, no, I'll go instead of her.
That would have literally been the dumbest. that would have been dumber than getting married on live TV to somebody that you've known for 2 weeks.
Didn't Rupert do that in his Blood versus Water season? It was like
his wife. They got the option. Like, do you want to trade
places? I'm going to eliminate myself.
Yeah, and... John Cody was like, nope, I'm going to stay in the game. And Rupert was like, I played 30 times. I'll switch. I think I'm pretty sure that's what happened, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
I have my rainbow tank top.
I have all I need. But yeah, oh my God. I got to say, that just would have been amazing. But Taylor, so getting back to the actual vote talk, Taylor basically says that, like, if Adam flips, then the millennials are going to vote him out at the merge. Like, trying to, like, lay that PIMP hand.
I thought that was bad. I go, because to me, you tell that to me, I'm going to do the exact opposite.
No.
I already know I'm on the bottom, and then you sit there and threaten me.
Yeah, I know. That was bad.
I'm going to say, well, nope, you don't threaten me.
Yeah.
Do threats ever work?
No.
Because
the game changes from week to week. So
yeah.
It's just like, again, if he would have been on the top, if he was equal with them, it never would have been an issue. But it was an issue because he was on the bottom, and then you threaten me on top of it. I'm breaking you guys up.
I mean, honestly, and the full figgy and that, and the fig tails lasted a lot longer than it should when they somehow managed to make the flip to get rid of, I'm blanking on her name now, the video game.
Mari.
So they should be thinking.
I got 3 points for that, so it was okay.
Yeah, when in your favor, the points thing works for you. So I think they got to last a lot longer than they probably should have. So be thankful.
Yeah. But I think the most telling moment of the tribal was when Adam says, because at this point, Figgy and Taylor are having like the time of their lives still, right? And then Adam's like, somebody's going to go home tonight and somebody's going to go back to camp upset tonight. And that's the point where Figgy was had this like, oh boy.
Snap.
Yeah. I think I'm in trouble here. And then from then on out, like, the energy and the tone, like, just changed of all of tribal. And Figgy ends up going home 3-2. And she tells Taylor on the way out, win. And then she starts crying. And I felt really bad for her when she started crying.
No, I didn't.
I did.
Nope, didn't care.
I did. I mean, voting Figgy out here was probably the right move for everybody.
She was like, she was far too cocky.
Oh, yeah.
And
they played a careless game by, you know, being so, you know.
Agreed.
You know, it just was a terrible game. It was terrible on their part. I'm not saying the getting together part was terrible, but we make it so obvious. And like I said, when you're around someone like that 24/7, you have nothing to do except listen to two people, I love you, I love you, you know, all that whole thing. I'm going to vote you out.
Right. And even as, like, Ken had pointed out in that scene where they were telling everybody, he was like, you guys wake up and are, like, cuddling and making out.
Yeah.
Like, of course we all know.
Yeah. I mean, it just gets to the point where it's like, and a game of Survivor where two votes are so important.
Right. And you don't want to let that power couple get close to the end, right? Because you've got that two unbreakable votes.
Well, we've seen it.
Yeah.
So it just.
We
so
have.
They, and she was, like I said, she was terrible from the start. You know, oh, Michelle, just everything she said was the wrong. When she grabbed Adam's head and said, oh, he voted for me, but, you know, I don't hold any grudges.
Yeah.
I said, I vote her out.
Yeah, there you go. She just seemed like somebody, I don't know. I'm sure she's fun in real life and, you know.
No, she seems like a fun person, but in the game of Survivor, she was. She just got too. She got too cocky.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Figgy back again. Would you guys? She made an impression. Like, the two of them made enough of an impression that
some of the most annoying people on this.
But
season.
We'll be making okay if they get together. Figtails is still a thing. Blood versus Water 3. Hello.
I guess.
Well, I don't think so because. He didn't take the chance. I mean, who wouldn't want to be married by Jeff Probst? I mean, who wouldn't want to do that?
Well, I think he was seeing it from like just the marketing standpoint. She says like first that was Survivor first.
Yeah. Oh my God! Yes, if he had said there's a Survivor first, and like
I didn't bring the ring, Jeff. I'm sorry.
If I was in Taylor's shoes, I almost would just go with it because if you could get an old or whatever, like that would be the first. Come on, you would be legendary. That would be one of the greatest moments in the history of Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could see Probst was like dying that A, he didn't want to send any of the five of them home, and B, he really wanted to marry somebody. He's like, I've married somebody once. I want to use this ordained ministership more than once.
I think I would have said yes just for like Jay said. just because it forever that'll be remembered by Survivor fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously, like then they're those
and then she gets voted out.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it might have saved her too. Maybe Adam would have said, "How can I vote out a couple just got married?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy crap, guys.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'd like to ask Adam. Adam, if you're listening, if they would have said yes and got married, would you have changed your vote?
Yeah.
Because that would have been 10 times harder voting out a married couple.
Yeah, because hashtag love wins.
Right.
Hashtag Survivor honeymoon.
Hashtag Ponderosa honeymoon. I don't know. Guys, okay, crackpot theory. They get married at the reunion show, and we finally have a reunion show that is Sia.
I don't think they're together anymore.
Probably not.
But man, God, they should have gotten married. That would have been the best strategic move. Actually, them getting married on Survivor is more forever than any marriage, probably.
Yeah, I heard the podcast last week.
Oh yeah,
okay, you're in Jess's spot or Adam's spot in the same. It's basically the same group, and you're next to Ken. You say, Jeff, could you marry me and Ken?
Yes. Same rules apply. It would be legendary. Not only but first male wedding on
Survivor. So would you make that offer?
What, like if? If
say, Jeff, they don't want to do it. I'd like to marry Ken. Can you marry me and Ken? That's what I'm saying. Would you make that offer?
Sure. Why not?
I would. Seriously, why not?
I'm not saying you. I'm saying Jay, because I'm talking to Jay.
Ken's a handsome dude. But still, it would be a Survivor first. Legendary.
Yeah.
And then Adam goes, "Well, do I vote this couple off?"
That neutralizes the wedding advantage that Figgy and
and
Taylor have.
At that point, like Probst and Mark Burnett like just cream their pants completely. Everybody's getting married.
You get a wedding.
And they'll be like, "This is the best publicity that we could use after a dude almost dying last season."
I think, like I said, I agree. It would have been huge. It would have broke the internet.
Yeah,
I don't know about broken the internet.
Jeff Probst married someone on Survivor.
But again, if I would propose marrying Ken, that would almost be the same equivalent of Malcolm's "Hold On, Bro," where it's like thought it was one thing and then you just throw it right back.
Yeah. Right. Hold up, bro.
It's like, Ken, you gotta marry. just trust me. You gotta marry me right now. It's for
It's gonna save you.
Adam would just vote himself out.
It's like, actually, I never wanted to play this game. So
I can't get a break here.
I'm
the third wheel twice.
That's what we thought about this episode. Colleen, what do you? Any listener feedback that you want to bring up before we get to tally the votes?
So I had proposed to Twitter who would they have voted for of our three winners' picks.
Yep.
And we got one response from Rachel who said Michaela probably. So
any explanation or just Michaela?
She did not give any explanation.
Okay. Well, without explanation, it doesn't count.
No, it does. We don't have any emails, but I proposed the question to the listeners for next week, and we will open the show with that feedback. So if the final three right now were Michaela, Ken, and Adam, who do you think would get it as of right now? So please send us an email, survivorjjc@gmail.com, because I would totally love to hear what people have to say, Michaela, because I'm going to win this.
I'd rather hear who would want to marry Ken.
Everybody,
except Tim, who apparently doesn't. So shut up, Tim.
Tim doesn't like him?
Tim's lying.
You know why? Because Ken looks athletic.
All right. I have.
Tim is anti-athlete, so.
Tim is an athlete. He's not anti-athlete. He is an athlete.
What is he an athlete
He's a poop runner.
All right. So I have to get this out there as far as our fantasy pool, the one that we're doing, that you guys are doing all default picks for. Which is just BS, by the way, because you guys are just going to perpetually tie.
Yay!
So why they're going to be in first place or in last place?
It's not fair. I forgot all about it today.
You're all the worst, but I'm winning by 10 points. So you guys take that for what it is. And let me see. Yes, I moved up in the tribe pool too. I was in fifth, and now I'm in third. Thank you for going home, Figgy. I put a lot of points on her trying to.
But didn't everybody pick Figgy?
Not in the tribe group. Woohoo! I tied for second place for points. I'm super excited now. I've been making big plays here.
I put all my points on there would be a wedding. I'm really ticked off.
Anyway, all right. So let's tally the votes and then get us all out of here.
All right. So it is time to tally the votes. Let's go to preseason picks, where we decide whether it be merge, pre-merge, or final three. So Figgy Figueroa goes home, and I said merge, so no points there. Jack said pre-merge, so another point for Jack, and Colleen said merge, so Jack gets a point there.
How is Jack kicking our butts in this? I don't understand.
He's kicking ass and taking names. Because
I took my time with it this time.
Week six, our picks, we all picked Figgy, so Shandy picked Figgy for you, Jack.
Well, thank you, Shandy.
So that means
I heard that. I said thank you.
I get a point though, so I'm finally on the board with a point. And Colleen, you go up to five. So the current tally markers, as they stand, I have one. Colleen has five, and Jack, you are in the lead with eight.
This is over.
It's not over.
It's over. You guys might as well quit.
Mm-mm.
It's over. It's a commanding lead.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Speaking of over, I saw you checking your Cubs score there. Who's winning?
5-0 Cubbies.
Oh, actually, it's 5-1.
Jake Arrieta had a no hitter going into the sixth, but
Cubs win. Holy cow!
And it's 5-1.
All right.
Now that Jack just said that, you cursed them and they're going to lose. Just totally threw you off, Jay. Sorry.
Thanks. That's it for this week. Survivor Jay, Jack, Colleen. If you'd like to send in, like Colleen called out, who do you think is going to win it all based on all of our winner picks? Ken, Adam, or Michaela, send in your thoughts. Or if you think all three of those are horrible picks, guys, this is who really is.
Also, hey, let's do a quick marry, F, kill.
No.
Okay, Ken, and...
No, not going to do it. SurvivorJJC@gmail.com. You can also give us a call at 385-309-0311. Want to send a special thanks to Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter, and Brad from Chicago for contributing at a significant amount on our Patreon page. Thanks to all 147 of our patrons. As we talked about earlier, we're only $101 short of our next goal. So if you haven't given anything yet, this is a great time to do it.
Yeah, please consider supporting us.
It helps everything that we do. Colleen's Skype is making bloop noises. That's going to be on the show.
I think that might be me.
No, that's me.
That's Colleen.
Oh,
I also
is it you?
Emptied my recycle bin before because I got a little notice from my computer that I was running low on space. So that was what I was doing.
Oh, okay.
Because I was afraid that it would like shut down or something in the middle of the
You
phone.
Guys so, weren't saying anything. I go, is that me? I kept looking for it.
No, that's us.
Back okay. to the topic. Right. Thank you to all of our patrons. And even if it's just a dollar, it still helps to support our show. So thank you for everything.
Yeah, it bought Boston a Squatty Potty and it paid for Amanda's therapy bill last month. So.
Become a patron, go to jjack.com, click the become a patron link. You'll see a thank you list of all of our patrons over on our website at jjack.com. Check out our other podcasts that we're doing right now. Shandy, who has been a guest on this show, co-host broadcast with Colleen. We have a new Westworld podcast, which honestly might be my favorite podcast since the last podcast that we've done. It's been a lot of fun. It's a great show.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of questions. If you're a Lost fan, I'm not trying to sell you on the podcast, but if you're a Lost fan, this has a lot of Lost to it.
Okay. Let the non-Lost podcaster give you guys the plug. So listen to the Westworld podcast, because it is very reminiscent of the Lost podcast in that you still have the crackpot theories, right? Except now the listeners have kind of caught on. They're becoming more self-aware, much like the hosts are becoming in Westworld, spoiler alert, and kind of taking over Jack's crackpot theories. So you've got that going on. You also have Beetlejuice that might show up, and because, you know, just listen to that and find out why I just said that, because it's there. You've got recaps, and you've got theories and listener feedback, which is the reason why I loved the Lost podcast back in the day before I even met these two gentlemen right here. I always listen for the listener feedback, because they always had interesting things to say. So definitely check out the Westworld podcast if you're watching Westworld. And it is also helpful because every week I watch it, even I'm like, wait, what? So there's that. So anyway, give it a listen. It's fantastic, whether you're at the gym or at your office or in the car or, I don't know, like I used to do, like nursing kids in the middle of the night, like, or kid singular. Like, check it out. It's great. It's great. Great, 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 great.
But yes, and we're joined by...
Jay was like, that plug started off so well, and then just got lost. Quickly dumped
But Mike Bloom of Rob Has a Podcast.
Way smarter than the two of you, so that's also where I was going with
it. I'm not going to lie on that one.
but yeah, so check it out. Westworld with Jay, Jack, and Mike. All right.
We also have the Married Men show.
Oh, we're just going to go through all of them. Yes, Married Man Show. Also have...
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk with Two Stupid Guys. We also have...
Walking Dead.
Which apparently controversial things happen because a lot of people are quitting the show. I feel like the thing... I don't watch Walking Dead, and I'm glad I never did, because it seems like every... like either finale or new season premiere, people are like, I'm done with this show. I'm done.
You know, people say that, but they're still watching.
Yeah.
I mean, did remind me a lot of Smashing Pumpkins.
Definitely check that out.
Without spoiling people, it was a little over the top.
All right. You guys can listen to The Walking Dead with Three Stupid Guys to hear what Jack had to say about that.
All right.
And if you're really dying to know what Jack had to say about Dancing with the Stars, you could check out that podcast as well.
I think I've become pretty knowledgeable with these dances, nice. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. I think Ken would appreciate that, my sensitive side.
All right, there you go.
All right, guys, that is it for this week's show. We'll see you next week. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye. Peace out.